Reverend Dr. Good is certainly known, and so the formality of this introduction is to do justice to the life of a man who has committed his life to civic service, but more importantly, to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will read in his bio about a number of distinguished accomplishments and accolades. He serves as a distinguished senior resident fellow at the Program for Research in Religion and Urban Civil Society at the University of Pennsylvania. He has won many prizes, such as the Civic Ventures $100,000 Purpose Prize, Philadelphia Inquirer Citizen of the Year. The list goes on in terms of his accolades and his accomplishments. Certainly one of the highlights of his life, not the only highlight, but a major highlight, and certainly for people of African descent, was his election as the first African-American mayor of the city of brotherly love, the city of Philadelphia. And that alone deserves a praise offering from the Lord to the Lord, as he will be the first to tell you that could not have happened had the Lord had not opened the door for him. That led that distinguished honor of serving as the first black mayor of one of America's largest cities was only after several years of other leadership appointments and groundbreaking pioneering appointments, managing director for the city of Philadelphia, and a host of other aspects of civic service that he has done. He served not only his city, the city of brotherly love, he served not only his state, the state of Pennsylvania, but he's also served the citizens of the United States of America as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Education under the presidency of William Jefferson Clinton. And his leadership at all three of these levels have been pioneering, distinguished, and certainly groundbreaking. He certainly will be the first to tell you that in all of these aspects of leadership, there were learning experiences and experiences to help to define who he was as a man of faith and as a man of character. We often define character as not where you stand in times of ease and comfort, but where you stand in times of difficulty and controversy. And certainly the challenge of MOVE in Philadelphia in those years, I believe, only helped to make him more and deepen him more as a leader and as a man of faith. The Reverend Dr. Good is an ordained Baptist preacher, and I'm grateful for his 57 years of service at the First Baptist Church of Pascal in Southwest Philadelphia. A lot of folk don't know that aspect or didn't know that aspect of his life. But for these last 57 years of civic service, they have been secondary to his life of spiritual service as an ordained Baptist preacher. I have watched him as a kid in Los Angeles, breaking ground, pioneering, growing up in the 70s and 80s, watching him from afar. So it is an amazing thing to sit with him close. And I have gotten to know him even more in a personal way from some of our mutual service on boards, such as the Child Welfare League of America and other child-serving organizations around the United States of America. He left the Clinton administration in 2000 to start something called the Amachi Program. The Amachi Program is something that he envisioned and he dreamt, and God gave him opportunity to birth it. Is a service to children of parents who are incarcerated, trying to break the cycle of generational incarceration and poverty and everything that goes along with that. And the Amachi program has been a evidence-based, groundbreaking program that has garnered attention from around the world, particularly because America has one of the highest rates of incarceration of any industrialized nation in the world. And so what do we do about the children of those who are incarcerated? And this brother in Christ, this former mayor of the city of Philadelphia, this husband, this laborer of the Lord has seen fit in these years of his ministry to address this. And so I'm very proud of his leadership. I'm very thankful for all that he does for the kingdom. He's well-educated, a graduate of Historically Black College and University, Morgan State University, the University of Pennsylvania, where he earned an M.A., and the Palmer Theological Seminary and Eastern Baptist Seminary, formerly Eastern Baptist, where he earned a Doctor of Ministry and serves on the board of trustees for that institution. So Reverend Dr. Good, again, it is an honor to have you with us today. And so, number one, I want you just to give the Lord a praise offering for such a wonderful and awesome man of God who does the work of the Lord. He will say more about his lovely wife who is with him today. But I wanted to offer these words of introduction and say to you, sir, that I am humbled by your acceptance of our invitation. I'm humbled for your friendship, and I am thankful for your leadership. God continue to bless you. Let us stretch our right hand towards the pulpit and say, Lord, bless us through this man of God, that we may receive a word that touches our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God another praise offering. I'm going to invite our choir, our Men's Day choir, to sing a song of praise. The next voice you will hear after the choir will be that of the Reverend Dr. W. Wilson Good, Sr.
I greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said that he's worthy to be praised. Let me try it again. I greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said that he's worthy to be praised. Oh, he's worthy. Oh, he's worthy. Oh, he's a mighty good God, isn't he? Oh, he's a mighty good God, isn't he? Oh, he brought us a mighty long way. A mighty long way from the cornfields, the corporate boardrooms, from slave ships to spaceships, from the outhouse to the White House. He brought us a mighty long ways. Somebody ought to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor Armstrong, and to all of the officers and members here at Shiloh, I'm delighted to be here and join you on this concluding service for the men's emphasis season. It used to be a day, now it's a season. Men's emphasis season. I'm delighted to have with me my bride of 52 years. Yeah. And I told her if she left me now, I'm going with her. So this morning when I kept asking, where's my wife, you know, I thought she had left. I was going to find her. I'm delighted to be here. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. I want to talk about man down. Man down. Man down. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and all-wise God, we're so grateful, Lord, for this preaching opportunity to do, Lord, what you have called me to do. Lord, I know that I cannot speak any words. I have any thoughts that will mean anything unless you send your anointing. So right now, Lord, send your anointing, Lord, that I may preach your word with power. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and for his sake, amen. Man down. Dan Abrams, in his book, Man Down, says he proved beyond a reasonable doubt that women are better than men. That women are better cops, better drivers, better gamblers, better spies, better world leaders, better beer tasters, better hedge fund managers, and everything else, and everything else. Better hedge fund managers. And all of this inspired my sermon title. Rihanna's CD, Man Down. Also, I cannot repeat the lyrics. Also inform this sermon title. I will say nothing else about these two, but want to focus my time on the number of men who are down and the fact that few seem to care. Few seem to exhibit the godly love that is our obligation. Let me get to our text. In our text from Romans 13:8, Paul affirms what Jesus has taught years before, that at the heart of the Christian faith is a law of love. Listen to the text again. Owe no man nothing but to love one another, for he that loveth one another has fulfilled the law. In NIV, it says that let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves one another has fulfilled the law. Eugene Peterson says, don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe to each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Let me be clear that Christian faith is a faith of relationships. A relationship with God and a relationship with one another within the body of Christ. All of us are debtors to God's grace. As he has shown love to us, we need to extend that love to everyone, including those we work with and can't stand. And even those who tax us and govern over us. Science tells us that love heals bodies. When everything else fails, it is love that can heal. Therefore, love is a powerful and essential force in our lives. But even more than that, love is a commitment. If we really understood who we are and where we come from, there could be only one answer. We are people of the cross. We are the ones who have been and seen the suffering love of God. On Calvary, we've seen a man who willingly died for us. And we realize that in response to the love that was poured out on a hill called Calvary, we can no longer live our lives in only concern for ourselves. The ironic thing is that losing our lives to others, we find new joy in living. Pastor Armstrong told you I run the Amachi program. And one of the things I found out when working with over 300,000 folk across this country is that they come back over and over again and say to me that they got more out of it than the children. That serving others gave them more joy, more satisfaction. And I can tell you that from my own point of view, I'm at the highest point of joy in my life. I've been the mayor of the fourth largest city. I've been the chairman of the PUC. I've been the managing director. I've been a deputy assistant secretary. But nothing gives me more joy than reaching out to help others. Yes, the most miserable people in the world are those who continually looking out for themselves in everything they do. Oh, you've seen them, haven't you? We were not created that way. We should not live that way. And that's not what God wants us to be. But love is the most important force in the world. It heals body and it heals souls. It gives us motivation and purpose for living. Think about this. Love came into the world in the person of Jesus the Christ. And he calls upon us to love the world and the people for which he died. I mean the kind of love that never has to apologize. The kind of love that remains strong in spite of human weaknesses. Love that will remain strong when the mind is not sharp. Love that is so strong it removes obstacles, lower mountains, and raises up valleys. Love that is unselfish, uncompromising, and also forgiving. Love is that's there anyhow. We read through the New Testament, you will find other writers talking about mutual love. But only Paul speaks of it, love that is, as an obligation to fulfill the law. In John, Jesus called mutual love a new commandment. How strong is that? After Jesus spoke these words, he then makes his love for his disciple as the basis for their loving others. Thank you, Lord. Peace, peace. Peter loved to the salvation. Peter traces love to the salvation we have received. John says that since Christ loved us so much, we ought to also love one another. I don't have to say anything else. Since Christ loved us so much, we ought to also love one another. Love does no evil. Love cannot wrong a neighbor. Love is a debt that is never fully paid. Thank you, Lord. No matter how much some have loved, they are under obligation to keep on loving. You don't have permission to stop loving someone because they don't love you back. You don't have permission to stop loving someone because they didn't speak to you. You don't have permission to stop loving someone because they looked at you funny. You are under obligation to keep on loving. And Paul says in this letter to the church at Corinth, as interpreted by Eugene Peterson, so no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Thank you, Lord. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Thank you, Lord. Love isn't always the first. Love doesn't keep a record of the sins and faults of others. Talk back to me now and then. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back but keeps going on until the end. Love never dies. So men of Shiloh, how do you really apply all of this? You know what you ought to do when someone shouts, man down? Others go to the rescue. It is only in our communities that we become numb to the conditions around us, especially for black men. There are too many black men down, and we need a rescue mission to go and bring them back to safety. Man down in homeless shelters. Man down in drug treatment centers. Man down in prison and returning from prison. Man down in unemployment line. Man down dropping out of school. Man down with life-threatening health issues. Man down, and no one seemed to love him. Man down, and no one cares whether they live or whether they die. Here's what I want you to consider. Today, the face of homelessness in America is a black man about 40 years of age and living in an urban area. And on any given day, there are 2 million homeless. And 50% of those who are homeless are black men. 1,000, 1 million, 1 million black men homeless. Man down. Drug abuse and addiction continue to ravage the African American community. And a special impediment to African American men. The impact has manifested itself in employment opportunities, academic achievement, and many other measures, both economic and health related. Man down. Man down. African Americans make up 12% of the population in this country, but 40.1% of almost 2.1 million males are black. Man down. Man down. A black man born since 1971 has a 30% chance of ending up in prison at some point in their lives. Man down. There's one in three African American men between the ages of 20 and 29, under some type of criminal justice supervision, imprisonment, jail, or parole, or probation. Man down. Man down. One out of nine African American men between 20 and 24 will be incarcerated. Man down. One in five non-college blacks have prison records. Man down. Man down. Men of Shiloh, you have a disproportionate burden to bear, a disproportionate charge to keep. We cannot and will not allow the errors of the past to dictate the possibilities of the future. In this past decade, we have made tremendous triumph. A black man in the White House. But trauma remains. The challenge is social surgery for the survival of these African Americans who are at risk. None of us can meet the challenge alone. It takes cooperation, it takes commitment, it takes communication, it takes love, it takes unconditional love. Christian men must lead the way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name. Christian men must lead the way. It is our obligation to love them and to lead the way, to be out front and be an example for others. In the words of Dr. King, all of us are caught up in a network of inescapable mutuality. We can no longer afford to live within a veil of illusion. The illusion of safe isolation. The plight of these black males in prison has erased the line of, you're going to talk back to me, aren't you? Erased the line of demarcation. We must love them even in their circumstance. Thank you, Lord. If we stop now of ensuring the fulfillment of the American dream for these African American men, we could find ourselves lost in a maze of an American nightmare. Thank you, Lord. With the establishment, a reestablishment of slavery and Jim Crow in the penal system. So I challenge you. I came not to make you shout, but to challenge you. So I challenge you to love those in these conditions. As you start to look on how you will love those who don't even perhaps love themselves. Thank you, Lord. Don't be seduced by the secular world and get caught up on self and what they are not doing for themselves. May I repeat that for you again? I said slow this time. As you start to look at how you will love those who don't even perhaps love themselves, don't be seduced by the secular world and get caught up on self and what they are not doing for themselves. It's really not about you. It's really about God. It's really about love. Man down, love him and love him now. Don't forget what God called you to do. If God called you, don't look back. Just do it. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Don't quit because it's too hard. When you consider that Christ died for you, what you're called to do is easy. It's a piece of cake. Don't give up because you don't have support. When you do what God has asked you to do, which is to love one another, you may not win a popularity contest, but God will bless you. Oh, God will bless you. Oh, God will bless you beyond anything that you can imagine. Remember, you're not being asked to be an icon of wealth accumulation, but to be a vehicle of wealth distribution. You must love those who are down. Thank you, Lord. So who among you is willing to love your neighbor and love those who don't even like you. Who among you is willing to love those who are hungry and help feed them? Who among you is willing to love those who are homeless and find shelter for them? Who among you is willing to love the drug addict, the drug dealer, the alcoholic, and find treatment for them? Who among you is willing to love the unemployed and unemployable and help them find training and jobs? Who among you is willing to love those with AIDS and HIV and give them compassion that they need? Who among you is willing to love those who are in prison and fight hard to dismantle the prison industrial complex in this country? Who among you is willing to reach out to young black men under 25 years of age who are posting their obituaries on Facebook and tell them that you love them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Only one in 10 ninth graders in urban areas will graduate from college. Are you willing to love them so much that you will work to change that reality? Are you willing to accept the fact that you owe a debt of love to all? And from this point on, that you will meet them in their circumstance. I know you can find love in your heart for Barack Obama, but can you find love for the Tea Party members? I just put that in there to make sure you were listening. Are you willing to lose your life to find it? Who among you will do what Jesus did? Jesus met us at our circumstance. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me close with a story from Richard Seltzer, who wrote a book called Mortal Lessons. He tells the story of a young woman who had a tumor in her mouth. In order to remove the tumor, the surgeon had to sever a nerve in her face. The operation left the woman's mouth all twisted. For hours, the young woman and her husband and the surgeon looked at one another in disbelief, in complete silence. She asked the surgeon, "Will I always be this way?" He answered, "Yes." And more silence took place, and then the husband looked at her and smiled and said, "I like it. It's kind of cute." Then he bends over to kiss her crooked mouth. And in order to make the kiss work, he had to twist his lips in order to make the kiss work. His lip had to accommodate hers. Anybody here with twisted lips this morning? Anybody here willing to twist your lips to accommodate those who are suffering? So whatever you're doing, we must make sure we twist our lips to accommodate, to our kiss of love, our kiss of service, our kiss of passion will work. Isn't that what Jesus did? Oh, glory, hallelujah to his name. Oh, he twisted his lips and gave his life for our lives. He met us at our circumstances and gave us a kiss of love. What we know is that at the center of this universe is an infinite loving God who is both creator and redeemer. This creator and redeemer became flesh as an embryo in the womb of an illiterate, thank you Lord, virgin, living in a oppressed colony on tiny planet in just one small solar system and one small galaxy among 1 billion galaxies. Oh, thank you, Lord. So God wrapped his son in humanity as a package of love just for all of us. For 3 years, he showed us how to love by preaching and teaching and healing. And then in order to seal the deal for our salvation, he allowed himself to suffer a painful death. And then they put him down in the grave. Man down, man down, man down. But he only stayed down, he only stayed down a few days. And then he got up. Oh, he got up. He got up with all victory in his hand, with power over grave and death. He showed us how to love. He showed us how to love. He did the hard part. Now it's your part. Now it's up to you. Man down. 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 Get up. Get up. Get up and help those who are down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Glory. Oh, he's a wonderful God. Oh, he's a wonderful God. Man down. Man down. I extend now an invitation to discipleship. Maybe one here who's out of the ark of safety, who don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We invite you to come now and give the pastor and officers your hand, but give your heart to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one can love you like Jesus loves you. No one can do for you what Jesus can do for you. Amen. Is that one here? Is that one here? Is that one here?